Welcome to Reality Check. This is Mahatma Das. I'm here with Akura Das. And today our subject is the power of questions. And to begin with, Akura has picked out a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam about questions. It's from the first canto, second chapter, text number 5. So we're going to read the verse in purport, and then we're going to discuss on this verse and related subjects about the power of questions. Munayo sadhu prishtoham bhavadbhir lokamangalam yat krita krishnasham prashno yenatma supersedati. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. Since it has herein been stated that in the Bhagavatam the absolute truth is to be known, the questions of the sages of Naimasharanya are proper and just, because they pertain to Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Personality of Godhead says that in all the Vedas there is nothing but the urge for searching after Him, Lord Krishna. Thus the questions that pertain to Krishna are the sum and substance of all Vedic inquiries. The whole world is full of questions. The birds, beasts, and men are all busy in the matter of perpetual questions and answers. In the morning, the birds in the nest become busy with questions and answers. And in the evening, also the same birds come back and again become busy with questions and answers. The human being, unless he is fast asleep at night, is busy with questions and answers. The businessmen in the market are busy with questions and answers, and so also the lawyers in the court and the students in the schools and colleges. The legislators in the parliament are also busy with questions and answers, and the politicians and the press representatives are all busy with questions and answers. Although they go on making such questions and answers for their whole lives, they are not at all satisfied. Satisfaction of the soul can only be obtained by questions and answers on the subject of Krishna. Krishna is our most intimate friend, father, son, and object of conjugal love. Forgetting Krishna, we have created so many objects of questions and answers, but none of them are able to give us complete satisfaction. All things but Krishna give temporary satisfaction only. So, if we are to have complete satisfaction, we must take to the questions and answers about Krishna. We cannot live for a moment without being questioned or without giving answers. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with questions and answers that are related to Krishna, we can derive the highest satisfaction only by reading and hearing this transcendental literature. One should learn the Srimad Bhagavatam and make an all-around solution to all problems pertaining to social, political, or religious matters. Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna are the sum total of all things. Akura, could you comment on this?
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada says that most of what we do all day long is that we ask and answer questions. And there is a reason why questions are important. Questions influence our thinking. And our thinking influences our action, or actions, and our actions influence our results. So basically, questions influence our results. The questions that we ask ourselves, we influence what we get in life and what we achieve in life.
That's, you titled this. I asked Akura for a title, and I said, well, what is the title of this? Is it the importance of questions, the value of questions? He said, no. It's the power of questions. So I don't know if we always think that way in terms of the questions being powerful. But the more you understand what a question does in terms of where it takes you, the more you begin to realize the power of it. And then you start to understand, well, if I'm not achieving what I want to achieve or I'm not satisfied with where I'm at in my Krishna consciousness or even in my life in general, maybe there's some questions I'm not asking, and maybe there's questions I'm afraid to ask.
The whole process of self-realization and Krishna consciousness is actually starts with the Vedic aphorism Adhato Brahma Jigyasa. Now, therefore, is the time to inquire about the absolute truth. So inquiry is extremely important in our tradition, but I don't think we use it enough. And also the way we are not aware, or at least I caught myself not being aware what kind of questions appear in my mind. But there is empowering questions and disempowering questions. And if one is aware of which questions are better, then he consciously chooses to ask these other questions that are more useful, that will bring better results, most of the time or all day long.
In the reality check show we did on responsibility, we talked a little bit about the victim mentality, where we feel we're caught in a situation we can do nothing about. And often the questions reinforce that. Why did this have to happen to me? Which is a victim question, which keeps us paralyzed, as opposed to what would be a better question. Let's say you find yourself in a difficult situation and it appears you can't do much, or you feel you can't do anything. It's just circumstantial. What would be a question you would advise someone to ask themselves to deal with that situation?
I mentioned in our conversation about responsibility, I told a story about the man in the concentration camp. So he had a perfect situation to feel like a victim, to identify with being a victim. But he was asking a different question. He was asking, how can I escape? How can I use the situation to find out a way to escape? While other prisoners, they were asking, why me? Why God has put me in this situation? This is unfair. Why these Nazis are so cruel? But he didn't bother. He didn't waste time on these questions. He was just asking, how can I escape? And then one day he got that idea that to mix with the corpses on the truck, and that saved his life.
I think what we find in Prabhupada's guidance of us is that a fundamental principle is, if a devotee is sincere, Krishna guides, gives realization how to deal with whatever difficulties, both personal difficulties or the difficulties we face in spreading Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, as we know, he said, strain your brain, how to spread Krishna consciousness. So I think straining the brain means, you could also say that means, well, let's ask the right questions. How can we spread Krishna consciousness in this particular situation? And some situations seem extremely difficult. It almost seems like, well, there's nothing we can do. Nobody's interested. There's a really nice story. Tamal Krishnamaraj was speaking to Srila Prabhupada, and he was telling Prabhupada that in Bengal at that time, the early 70s, their preaching wasn't successful, and he was saying that no one's interested. And Prabhupada said, nobody's interested, or you could not make them interested. So it appeared that no one was interested, so the empowering question would be, how can we interest them?
Right. There is a way to train ourselves and train our mind to ask empowering questions. And I have something that's called Gita cards. It has about 55 cards, 55 texts, which are short texts with questions and with quotes by Srila Prabhupada. And one of them is, ask the right question. And if you find the right question about any situation, this is a very, very powerful success tool that actually increases the likelihood of success in any affair. So, for example, there is questions that waste time. Like, for example, if you're asking why others are not perfect, that's a waste of time because you can't do much about it unless they really accept what you tell them and you can influence them. Better than asking why others are imperfect, you can ask, how can I improve, or how can I influence them if you want to influence them. So in this way, we can gradually learn what questions are most effective. One question that my audience is like in my seminars, and they really, many of them really like, it's maybe sometimes just a highlight or a wake-up moment in the seminar when I ask them, what do you want in your life, excuses or results? And then, you know, like sometimes half the audience, they are being hit with this, and they say, oh my God, this is a heavy question.
But I also find in the seminars that I've done, one of the things that I've focused on is asking questions, just exercises which are simple questions that I give the devotees that I ask them to answer in a written form and then to discuss with a partner. And occasionally I'll ask questions and I'll hear groaning because some of the questions are uncomfortable.
Right.
And people will say, why did you have to ask that question? And I think, this is my own experience also, that sometimes we're afraid to ask ourselves the important questions, or what I would say the hard questions, because the hard questions, they're difficult for us to answer because we might have to look at things about ourselves that we don't want to confront.
Yeah.
And I know oftentimes when devotees ask me, well, what do you think? Should I do this or that, or is this right or wrong? And I often say, if you had to tell Prabhupada what you're doing now, what would you rather tell him, that you're doing this or that? And it's a simple way to come to a conclusion, but sometimes it's difficult to face that. Well, mm-hmm. I certainly would want to tell Prabhupada this, but I feel like doing the other thing.
So you mentioned focus, and sometimes devotee asks me, how can I focus more, become more focused on something that I want to do, but somehow my mind gets distracted. So I said, well, ask the right question. The good question immediately changes your focus. You can refocus. So, for example, if you are lost in your day, or you have too much to do, or you don't know what to do, you have nothing to do, you can ask yourself a wonderful question. What is the most valuable use of my time right now? And then, you know, you have to come up with some answer.
One of the most valuable things that I found in my life that helps focus is exactly what you said. But there's one stage before that, because oftentimes we're not clear about where we want to go, what we want to do, what is my mission in service to my spiritual master? What is my mission in service to Prabhupada? And the more clear we are about mission, then when we ask the question, what's important, it becomes obvious. Well, if this is my mission, whatever it is, what am I doing today that's getting me closer? I found in my own life, when I wasn't clear about my mission, I would do many, many things, and I felt like I was going around in a circle from one thing to another, and I wasn't progressing. It was just, you know, I think many of us feel like I did this, then I did that, and they asked me to do this, and I did that, then I felt like doing this, and I did that, and at the end of the day, I would look and say, well, where am I now, or the end of the week, or month, or year, where am I now in relation to where I really want to be? And then I realized, well, I wasn't clear on where I really wanted to be, and when you become more clear on where you want to go, focus is easier, because you focus on the things which are important. Or as one person told me, he said, write down your goal or your vision or whatever it is you want to accomplish, and then just put that up on your wall, and then analyze your day and see if what you're doing is helping you get closer to that or taking you further away from that. And that's also a great impetus for sadhana, because we know that we become empowered by good sadhana. So if our goal is a spiritual goal, we need spiritual practices, and so we can, it becomes a holistic approach to our Krishna consciousness.
One thing we can do individually, we can actually create questions that inspire us, that uplift us. Like some devotees like to ask in the morning, how can I serve today? Or how can I contribute today? What can I give today? And then the day starts in a very wonderful way. Or
you can go back one step. How can I chant better rounds this morning?
Yeah. Yes, that's That's a wonderful way to start the day. But regarding your activities throughout the day, or what I advise devotees who sometimes fall into self-pity or are not happy with what they have in their lives, I ask them to write, ask themselves in the morning, what am I grateful for in my life? And then write 10 things that you are grateful for. This is a wonderful question. Also, you can ask, who are the people in my life that I love, that mean to me? And then this also changes your focus from being negative, depressed, and, you know, in the scarcity mentality, to understanding what you already have. And I have caught myself so many times that everything is there, but I feel something is lacking. But if I look around, then I can find so many things. So many things, or something that I
so
need.
So many good things.
So many good things, or something that I need. And I think, I don't have this, I don't have that. And then if I look around a little bit more, or if I think about what people can help me, then everything is there.
There's another aspect to dealing with difficulties, or as you're saying, kind of feeling the lack or the disappointment in a particular situation. Very, very important question is, what can I learn from this?
Yeah.
Because as we know, failure is one of the best ways to learn. We discussed that a little bit in another session. And I think what you're saying here is, you're talking about changing focus. From questions can change your focus. So now you're focused on everything that's bad. If you're focused on what's bad, it's just draining energy from you.
Mm.
And as we had discussed before, Prabhupada said, if we lose our enthusiasm, then we're finished. So enthusiasm is very, very important in bhakti. We have to remain, somehow or other, we have to remain enthusiastic. That's key, that's fundamental. So questions can actually focus us on what will make us enthusiastic, or at least encourage us, or what will discourage us. So let's say I'm in a discouraging question, but I've learned a discouraging situation, but I can learn something. What can I learn from this? Then every situation has something positive about it, if I take what I learned and I go forward.
I know an incredible story. It's a true story about the guy called W. Mitchell. He had an airplane accident. He got burnt, and he broke his bones, and it took him a lot of time to recover, but he was very determined to recover. He had a motorcycle accident, and his like half body was burnt, his face was burnt, and he became like really like invalid. And while he was in the hospital, he was very determined. He had a very strong mind, and you know, he didn't lament and ask, "Oh, why this happened to me?" He was asking, "How can I use this?" And there was this beautiful nurse who was kind of serving him, and he asked himself, "How can I go on a date with her?" And you know, his roommates, they were laughing. They said, "You are crazy. I mean, you are like a piece of meat." And he was asking this question, and gradually they develop a relationship, and this lady is now his wife. And you can't believe it.
Brahmacharis don't ask that question.
But another thing that you probably won't believe is that now he's a motivational speaker. He goes in a wheelchair on a stage. He doesn't have fingers. He just has something sticking on his arms. He's such an invalid, and his face is still burnt, but he puts sunglasses, and he teaches people how to be happy and successful.
You know, have you ever seen that? There's an evangelist, Christian evangelist, or preacher. He was born without legs. His legs never grew.
Mm-hmm.
So he does programs all over the country, maybe all over the world, and he sits on a... Well, I guess he can't stand, so he sits on a table and gives his talks. And he is so on fire that there's no obstacle because people, you know, he's really living the talk because they see he's so successful and he has such big obstacle. I don't even think he has arms. I think he has no arms and no legs. He's basically a torso, but in a sense he's more effective because of that disadvantage.
Right.
A lot of times when you come from a disadvantaged position, it's a real advantage.
Yeah.
Because otherwise people will say, well, you know, you went to the best schools and you had great parents and, you know, you had a very nice life, so naturally you're successful. But I didn't, and I have all these reasons. So when people come from this kind of situation, nobody can argue with it. Now you want to say something?
Continue.
I have another important thing, a very valuable lesson that I learned, and it relates to how questions force us to use our brain, use our mind. I don't know when you were growing up if you ever asked your parents a question and they would say something like, well, ask yourself or figure it out or use your mind. It was like they understood that we could figure it out. We didn't need to ask the question. My father would always do that. I'd ask him a question. He'd go, ask yourself. His famous line was, ask yourself, which is pretty nice, you know, ask Krishna, ask the soul. So there is a lot we can understand by asking ourselves, so to speak. And, you know, it's the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam principle, the principle of Krishna giving guidance when we feel helpless, we feel in need, which is the proper attitude of a devotee. So I heard this one person give some advice on how to ask questions which would help you achieve something that you're finding difficult to achieve or you even have no idea how to start. He said, write a question on top of a piece of paper. Whatever the question be, you know, how can I chant better rounds? Or how can I expand my service? Or how can I be more humble? Whatever it may be. And he said, write 20 answers. It must be 20.
Uh-huh.
And the reason was, he said, that usually the last few answers are the best. Because the first few are kind of obvious. They may be right on the surface. He said, but the last few, you'll have to dig deeper. So you're using more of your mind, or you're tapping into Krishna's guidance because you're struggling more. And he said, you can actually use the same question and do it every day with another 20 answers until you're satisfied you've got something. So his point was, we're not really using the resources of our minds, or in this case,
exactly,
the super soul, which the intelligence will give. And I just want to say one last thing. It was a very clear realization I've been having lately, that whatever situation we are in life, as we say, Krishna fulfills all desires. And a lot of times devotees don't understand this. They say, well, I want a swimming pool in my backyard and I don't have it. Krishna's not fulfilling that. And I don't think that's exactly how we understand this. But in general, what we're achieving in life is because of our aspiration, what we want. And Krishna's, you know, you didn't end up married with five children because you had intense desire to be a sannyasi. And you didn't end up as a sannyasi because you had intense desire to have a large family. So we were directed according to where our heart is, and we get the intelligence. So understanding that, it also is like a little cautionary note. Well, you know, if you meditate in a certain way, Krishna's going to provide answers or intelligence to what you want. And you may end up in a situation you don't want to be in and look back and go, how did I end up like this? And so you ended up that way because that's where you focused.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe we can look at some powerful questions. So what questions help you, Mahatma Prabhu, the most in your life?
The questions, one of the questions I think about a lot is if I went to the doctor and he told me, you have a week to live or 2 weeks or a month, what are these things, these projects, these desires, whatever they may be, that are not fulfilled, that I would die lamenting I should have done that? You know, like they say, don't die with your music in you. So what is that music? Particularly, I'm looking at the things that I'm procrastinating on doing, or perhaps even things I haven't thought of. You know, and I think we all have the, well, someday I'm going to do this idea, or someday I'm going to be like this. So that question has helped me a lot in looking at what my mission in life is, how I want to serve Krishna. Just knowing how unhappy or dissatisfied I might be having not accomplished certain things that I feel are very important for me to do, very important for the devotee community, very important perhaps for my family, my wife, my child, things of that nature. I find that very empowering.
Mm. So when we ask questions, or when I ask questions, ask people questions or devotees, one of the most difficult questions is, what do you want? And these questions can be presented in many different versions. And another one is, what one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail? So,
why do you think it's difficult? You said the most difficult question is, what do you want? Why is that difficult? Because of the obstacles you'd have to, or the person you'd have to be to achieve it? It's too intimidating?
It may be many reasons. Fear of failure, fear of success, and people sometimes don't know what they want, or they're afraid to admit what they want, and then they just somehow repress it. And
why are they afraid to admit it?
Because maybe it's not 100% pure, or maybe they don't think it's achievable, or maybe their fear that they will not get it, or they fear maybe they will get it, and then what? And like, if someone wants fame, but they are afraid to admit it, then what if I become famous? Then I'm in trouble. Like that. So then, one question I like to ask people when they come to me with problems is, how would you solve this problem if you would be super intelligent?
And then you ask them that question.
Yeah.
They tell you, this is my problem, and then you ask them, if you were super intelligent, how would you solve it?
Yeah. Also, I ask them, if you would be, it's a similar question, if you would be a world expert on these kinds of problems, how would you deal with this? Let's say someone comes in to you with this problem, and then you're a world expert, you can put on glasses or something, and then what would you tell them? And then I ask them, okay, come up with 5 solutions. I had this session with a devotee, and I asked him to find 5 solutions for his issue, for his problem, and he was a bit reluctant, but he surrendered to the exercise. When I came back, he was smiling, and then I said, he was actually very happy that he found some solutions to his own solutions to his issue. And I said, well, this is not all. Now I want you to go back. You're not a world expert anymore. You're yourself again, your old self, and find the best excuse for each of the solutions.
Oh, nice.
And then he was even more excited. I went out. I left him for 5-10 minutes. I came back. He was laughing uncontrollably. I said, what happened? I mean, what did you do? He said, I just realized how I'm sabotaging myself my whole life. And he had there 5 nice solutions. I haven't told him a thing. And he had 5 best excuses that he has.
So he was just laughing at his excuses because they were so stupid?
Yeah.
So foolish?
Yes. And he couldn't believe that he has such good excuses. But that was his natural ability.
Okay, so here's what you did. You created objectivity because you took him out of his who he was, mm-hmm. and had him speak as if he were speaking to someone else. And we find so often how easy it is to help other people. We can see their problem right away. Mm. Someone comes to you and says, oh, Prabhu, I'm having such a difficulty doing this. And you think, what's the problem? Just do it. You know, what's the big thing? It seems so simple. Well, you just do this, this, and this. But for ourselves, we can be in the same situation.
Right.
And all we have to do is a few simple things, and we can't figure it out, or we figure it out, we can't get motivated, or we can't get through the jungle of our lives to see the light at the end of the tunnel to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So your exercise is very good. It's created objectivity.
Yeah. And you can actually discover how your mind works and how the mind creates these excuses, why something cannot be done. In Slovenia, in the class, I told devotees that I'm not impressed if you come to me and say why something cannot be done. But you come to me and say why something, for example, impossible, can be done, and how it can be accomplished, and you show me the steps and everything. And we know from the scriptures that anything is possible by Krishna's mercy, anything is possible by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So if we properly connect and if we ask the right questions, we can achieve amazing things. And another thing I wanted to mention is that there is a powerful question that expands options. If you ask, what else is possible? What else can I do? This is a very, very powerful question. You can always expand the number of options that you have about any issue, any problem you want to solve or result you want to achieve by simply asking, what else? Is there anything else? Is there anything else? And in this way, you expand the possibilities and options.
So you're showing Krishna your intention. As I was going back to what I was mentioning before, you're showing Krishna your intention, and therefore Krishna moves you forward towards what you want to achieve by giving you the intelligence, by showing him, okay, because we made the point, Krishna's fulfilling everyone's desire.
Yeah.
Which is again, doesn't, you know, for many devotees, think, well, how is Krishna fulfilling my desire? I want a new car, I want this, I want to be the biggest devotee in ISKCON, and I'm still washing the pots. He's not fulfilling my desire. But you see, if you understand it this way, according to your intentions, the kind of questions you're asking, then you'll see Krishna really is putting you in a situation according to really not just whimsically what you want, but where your consciousness is most of the time. If you want to be great, but you're thinking, well, not in a great way, then Krishna's fulfilling your desire not to be great, because you're thinking, you're not thinking, you don't have the right mentality, or you're not in the mood, you're not receptive to Krishna's empowerment because your false ego is getting in the way because you want pride. I also think that some questions are difficult for us because we're afraid we don't have the strength to do what's necessary. As you were mentioning that point, you know, difficult questions, the whole idea of difficult questions. Sometimes we don't want to ask a question or put ourselves up to the task that we think we're going to fail. And there's a nice, I don't know who said this, he said, don't ask God for tasks equal to your strength, but ask God for the strength equal to the task. So that can help us, that mentality can help us if we're afraid to ask the question because I'm afraid the answer is I will have to do such and such, but I'm not up to the task, I don't have the strength. But then we can say, okay, Krishna, I've asked the hard question, this is what has to be done, now I pray to you for the strength to be able to do it, so we can face it. Otherwise, a lot of dissatisfaction will be there when we're not doing what we know we should be doing. Deep down inside, even if we don't ask the question, many of us know what we should be doing. And in my seminars, I ask those questions to bring it out in the forefront, to make devotees, to let them look face to face. This is really what you want to be, and this is really what you want to do. So don't avoid it, but just let's work on how you can do it, how you can overcome. There's one other question I ask in my seminars, which is along this line. And the question is this. If Srila Prabhupada were coming to your house 1 month from now, or you could say, let's say 3 months from now, and he was going to ask, and why he's coming to your house, he's going to ask you, what are you doing? So you now have 3 months to change your life, so you don't have to, let's say every day you watch television for 4 hours. And if Prabhupada comes tomorrow and he says, what are you doing? You have to say, Prabhupada, when I get home from work, I watch television for 4 hours. And I go surf the internet and this and that. But now's your chance to change your lifestyle. So you can tell Prabhupada, this is what I'm doing. And maybe there's a project or something you always wanted to do. Oh my God, Prabhupada's going to come. He's going to want to know. Prabhupada is asking, what are you doing? Oh, I get up every day at 4 o'clock and I chant 16 rounds by 7. And then I read your books for an hour, and then I'm working on this project when I get home from work. And that's what you want to tell him. You don't want to tell him, well, Prabhupada, I haven't really been chanting my rounds because I stay up late at night, and then there's no time to chant in the morning, and I go to work. When I come from work, I'm so exhausted and burned out because I don't like the job, and I just turn on the TV and zone out. You don't want to tell him that. So that causes devotees to face what they really want to do. And it's hard to face what you really want to do when you're not doing it and you don't know how to do it.
Hmm. So I recommend to start the day with a good question. Like, one we can derive from what you said is that, how can I please Prabhupada today? Or how can I please Krishna today? How can I serve devotees today? These are simple questions, but actually can help a lot to define what we will do during the day.
Or how can I be a little bit better in any area of my life I want to improve? How can I be a little bit better today than I was yesterday?
Yeah.
That's always, you know, so we're talking and some people are listening, some devotees are listening and going, oh my God, these guys are like, they're shooting for the moon. I'm not that kind of person, I don't think. No. So how can you be a little bit better in whatever you're doing? Could you chant your rounds a little bit better? Could you be a little more focused? Could you be a little better husband or wife or father or mother? Could you be a little better disciple? Is there any way you can improve your service incrementally? And then you multiply that by 365 days and you've improved one thing 365 times.
I think we are made in such a way that if we don't improve constantly, we cannot be happy. You can do anything to please yourself, but if you don't work on your character, if you don't work on your skills, if you don't work on your ability to please Krishna and to serve, then you cannot be happy.
Another nice meditation that I think would be helpful to devotees that I've been having lately is the example that's given in the Bhagavatam, not the example, but the statement in Bhagavatam. It says that your spiritual life is tested at the time of death. So we know when we went to school, at least in America, sometimes you go into your class and the teacher would say, okay, today we're having a surprise test. Because normally you're told when the tests are going to be. Do you have that in your schools? Do you have surprise tests?
No.
In America, Akura was raised in Yugoslavia. They don't have surprise tests in Yugoslavia. But in America,
I don't remember.
We had this thing called surprise test. It was just, okay, students, this is what we've been studying all week, and I want you to read this tonight, and I want you to do this assignment for your homework. And then you come back the next day. She didn't tell you or he didn't tell you there was going to be a test. And she says, we're having a surprise test. Oh, so if you didn't study, if you didn't do your homework, you didn't pay attention in class, you're not going to do well in the test. So it's a way to test you, to keep you online. So Bhagavatam gives that example, that at the time of death is a test of your remembrance of Krishna, because it's a surprise test, you don't know. And one of the meditations I've been having is that there's that bell, you know, there's that notice, okay, it's over. So however far we've progressed at that point, when it's over, that's, you have no more chances. So if we haven't perfected our life or come close to it, then what happens? Okay, you take another birth, and then you have to start over. So why waste that time? It's like failing a class. When you fail a class, at least in America, you have to take it over again. So we have a limited amount of time. So in that sense, if we see it that way, we don't have time not to progress daily, because time is limited and our consciousness is far from perfect. So I like that meditation. It's very inspiring. Today's another day to get closer to that final exam, the pop quiz, when I don't know when it's coming, but here's another opportunity. I've got to progress at least a little bit. That's what.
How can I prepare better?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Perfect question. How can I prepare?
I would like to also mention another question that is very practical and very relevant, and that's when we face any problem, we can ask ourselves, how can I turn this problem into opportunity? Turning problems into opportunity is a very, very important skill, because problems we face all the time, but instead of allowing problems to overwhelm us and see that these problems are meant to destroy us or crush us, we can always turn them around and use them to grow, to develop, and ultimately to become successful.
And it's also nice if we don't call them a problem, because the word problem can, at least for some, can have the connotation of defeat or an obstacle which is insurmountable. Whereas I like your word opportunity. So let's say you have a problem and you call your friend and say, he says, what's going on? He said, well, I have this great opportunity today, because I teach this in the Course on Forgiveness. It's a very nice meditation, and it's not something I came up with, but I read this in a book by a pastor on forgiveness, and it really struck me. He said, If someone has hurt you, you're the most fortunate person.
Well,
because now you have the opportunity to learn how to forgive. Whereas if you've never been hurt, you don't have that opportunity to rise above the hurt, rise above the pain, rise above the desire to react.
Revenge.
To take revenge, to get back at the person. So he said, now you're very fortunate. And I said, wow, what a way to turn that around. It was like an aha moment, a shock. And then I realized that any situation we're in, a situation which is difficult to tolerate, a person that's difficult to tolerate, they said, there's a saying, any situation like that is an opportunity to learn how to develop tolerance. And there's a saying, if you really want to learn how to love, take care of someone you hate.
Oh, Krishna.
You know, or something like that. Some situation, you know, you really want to learn it, you have to be in the total opposite.
Mm.
Easy to love someone you love. Easy to love your child. Find someone you don't like and show them love. Then you really have to learn how to love.
Right. I told one devotee, one senior devotee in London, I said, your challenge is to develop a loving relationship with the devotees you don't like.
Very nice.
And the devotee is rolling his eyes.
I think that's all. Everyone has that challenge. There's bound to be someone we don't like as much as others. Someone in our life that's difficult to work with. And so what would the question be? What would the question be for if we're having difficulty with dealing with somebody? What would our question be? Empowering question.
What this situation is an opportunity for.
And very nice.
What would please Krishna in this situation?
Very nice. Thank you all for listening. So I hope you got the idea now that it's time to ask right questions that are going to help you go forward in your life rather than just accept difficulties and say, there's nothing I can do. So Akura has given so many examples of nice questions, and we've given you so many ideas of how to look at a situation in which you can develop your own questions or use the questions we've given you. So thank you very much for listening. As always, if you want to contact us, or if you're interested in a coaching session, you can get Akura@pamho.net, akura@pamho.net, or you can get me, Mahat@AOL.com, or mahatmadasa@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you again next time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.